Good morning, everyone. The talk I'm going to go in right now is about an attempt to build a global catalog service in IPA. To those who express sort of worry that this is going to repeat some before development, no, it is not. And it has a purely, very limited use case to cover, but I'll get into that. And Samba plays a very big role in this one stuff. So for those who don't know me, I'm working at Red Hat for almost 6 years now. I'm Samba team member for 14 years and doing free IPA development since 2011. So what is this talk about? It's about free IPA, which is, people typically say, a directory service for Linux and POSIX clients, making it as if it is Active Directory for Linux, which is, again, not true, but oversimplifications is something that people want to have or want to hear because they can make an easy comparison to what they know about. So it actually a stack of services provided by different components and different upstreams. So free IPA itself has to dance a lot between these upstreams. And over years, we got a fairly good relationship with the teams like MIT Kerberos, which wasn't easy, but now it's flourishing, and 389DS is the LDAP directory server, which was originally known as Netscape directory, and then Fedora directory, while setting down on this name more than 10 years ago. Time flies. So IPA uses Samba as a traditional domain controller. IPA provides a special PassDB backend that allows to store information in LDAP, information about the trusted domains, which traditional LDAP PassDB in Samba doesn't know about. And this allows, in together with the bunch of plugins for 389DS, it allows to effectively make Active Directory domain controllers to think that this is Active Directory. Not in the same forest, so it's a separate forest, and that also allows us to escape a lot of things that Samba AD has to implement to work in the same forest. So we don't need to support replication, directory replication algorithms at all, because we are not seen as a part of the same forest, therefore we don't need to replicate anything. We can use tools that are more tuned for Linux use or for POSIX environments and so on. And all the other parts that are there, they add on top, but not necessarily compatible with Microsoft, more like compatible with traditional POSIX environment use. And this support for the forest trust to Active Directory is also working against Samba 4.5, thanks to work done by Metze and Cernet with Red Hat basically contracting out this work to find gentlemen on the right side from me. And that wasn't really an easy work, because Samba AD didn't have Forest Trust support or serious trust relationship support, all the algorithms. So Meta implemented a lot of that stuff. But now it's possible to establish trust and treat IPA as an Active Directory forest that you can trust to. So users from those forests can access resources on free IPA clients using single sign-on, GSS API, or password-based logons, which are backed up by Kerberos authentication in SSSD. However, free IPA users cannot natively access resources in Active Directory at all, and this is one of the primary areas where I want to focus on in this talk. These users cannot access resources in Active Directory. So when you establish trust, you actually have kind of a shadow trusted domain object and shadow account in the forest that you trust or trusts you. And you can use that account to smuggle into the trusted environment. And this is what SSSD on FreeIPA Masters is using to actually pull the identity data out of Active Directory. So when Active Directory user tries to log in on any FreeIPA client, they actually contact IPA Master. IPA Master resolves those users using the trusted domain object credentials. But you cannot use that for anything else because it will be a breach of the relationship, right? You cannot use that as a normal user. You have to have some different mechanism. So in Windows, effectively, you have to use seeds in the access control list. That allows you to basically forget where the user is, whether it's user or group, and where it's stored, because all you need is a seed. And that the same seed you get when somebody tries to log on, and you have a list of seeds to compare against, and you don't need to do any username resolution and anything like that, except a single point. When administrator wants to configure that access control, they need to enter usernames or group names in UI. And that UI does some operations that look up the data in the domains, trusted domains in the same forest or in trusted forest, so on. FreeIPA doesn't provide all those interfaces expected by Active Directory to perform the seed lookups. Name and seed, of course. But there are actually four different types of ways to discover those seeds. So first is connectionless LDAP pin that is used to discover the closest domain controller to you with certain properties, to you as a client. In this case, a client would be a Windows domain controller that looks up what is the closest domain controller from FreeIPA side to look up the users, FreeIPA users. The LDAP pin allows to specify a username, which supposedly, at least this is not our theory because this is not documented anywhere in the Microsoft specifications, use it to kind of find out a domain controller that definitely knows about this user. Because if user is just created, then replication might not yet be complete, and you might get troubles. So another way is to use the correct names, which we don't obviously support because we don't support at all the Active Directory replication services. And SMBD does not have it. Only Samba AD has this implementation. Then the next is a traditional family of lookup names. There are a bunch of them. And on LSA pipe, and also SAM logon, because if you do logon, you actually get a packet back package that says who you are in terms of seeds and reads and so on. So For the cases when you are doing interactive logon on the machine, you actually use that. And then there are queries to global catalog. So if we look at this LDAP ping, name validation is sort of there that allows to kind of choose a domain controller that has this name, knows about it. But unfortunately, I cannot increase this image or zoom in on it. So you can see here's an attempt by when I have the security tab open and add some names or try to add some names from IPA Forest. This is what Windows does. It's a bunch of CLDAP requests. I don't have any global catalog yet, so I don't have any DNS or server records in place. And all Windows does is a bunch of requests, like three or four requests per each attempt. And those requests have a username. So in this case, it says user equal user two. But the name that I entered in the UI was admin. So I have user two, I have, here it would be admin, yes, admin. And then I have something called Alice. Who is this Alice? I have no accounts named Alice, neither in IPA nor in Active Directory. So that my first thought was that my Windows Server 2016 with latest updates was hacked. And on each request, somebody does CLDAP requests with all these strange names. But then I thought, no, I checked everything. There seemed to be nothing on hacking. It only happens when I try to look up the users. And Alice is a fine random person, along with Marvin, Heather, student, user two, test, and many others. So she is not alone. They have a really good family. I'm intending to ask Doc help. What the heck is happening? So if I actually try to trigger global catalog queries, all I need to do is to add the DNS SRV records for underscore GC in the default side, because we only have default side in IPA. If I add them, Windows immediately tries to connect to the global catalog. It ignores the port in the service record definition. It always tries to get to TCP 3268. So for the purpose of kind of demonstrating that this indeed as a requirement to create a global catalog, I just did the IP tables redirect for IP4 and IP6 from 3268 to 389. And I've got a bunch of stuff happening, including it's a TGS request for service ticket for LDAP. So it actually tries GSS Espenigo authentication against my LDAP server using the LDAP as a target principle. But if that fails, not fails, it succeeds but doesn't find any users. The key point here is that it actually been able to issue requests to LDAP. And LDAP answers something without error, like answering there's zero users available with for the filter that you ask it for in the query. Then Windows falls back to the SAM logon and tries to log on in. And the funny part, because it uses a secure channel, like between the domain controllers. I cannot actually see the traffic here. This RPC netlogon is encrypted, so I cannot see it. But I can see that actually it issues this logon sum logon with flags request, because I can see it in samba logs. And in samba logs, I can see that it actually passes name that has little resemblance to what I actually entered in the UI. In UI, I have admin. It asks for user. I have a working theory that Microsoft does not test these fallbacks anymore. And it's broken beyond any repair right now. But what it proves is that there's a workflow with fallbacks. First, we do CLDAP ping. Okay, the result of CLDAP ping, whether user is found or not, is kind of ignored. We always return that user is there, but the username is empty, or I modify to just echo back the same user. Then it goes to LDAP, issues LDAP request, which uses obviously AD schema and the attribute names and so on to look up. But one interesting thing that the security tab in Windows, when it in UI, when it does this request, it actually, in LDAP, it doesn't ask for this specific user that you entered, admin. It submits a regex. So it actually looks for admin star, so anything starting from admin. And I suspect that the result will be to show you a list of users to choose from, starting with admin. You cannot have this in the LSA requests. There it should be like explicit username. There's no lookup of like multiple users there. So this is the order, how it goes. CLDAP, we go to global catalog. If search does not return any results, Windows will fall back to RPC calls. If search fails, and it's short-circuited, and you don't go anywhere, you will get the message saying there's nothing. So, if we want to implement this, pretty much like I did, even if I do just IP tables redirect for trying to get to reach the existing LDAP server. We have certain challenges. They are subtle, and they don't happen on Samba side for certain reasons. So first of them is SASL JSS Espanol. So Samba implements its own SASL processing, both on the server and on the client. And the reason for that is because we as a Samba team were unable to find out working Cyrus SASL implementation that support JSS Espanol. And the reason for that is that, yes, Cyrus SASL implements JSS Espanol, but it's compatible with itself only, not with the Windows. In fact, the same module implements JSS API, so they just kind of use the same callbacks there. There's no thing there. The code is there like for 15 years. I think the first time it appeared was in 2002 or so, 2003. So I kicked Sima in February finally. He was telling me that this is the SSF detection that is missing, because for Espanol you basically don't need to discover or negotiate SSF properties. You can discover them from JSS API, whether if you have encryption, if you have integrity protection, and so on. So finally, in February this year, I kicked him. He wrote a patch, and we talked with Ken Murchison, who is a Cyrus SASL maintainer, And surprisingly, we did not have any opposition to change this behavior, broken behavior, but people were saying, okay, it's broken, but because it talks to itself just nicely, you might have environments, let's say, POSIX environments where CyrusSSL is used with JSS as Panigo, talking to Linux clients or Unix clients overall, not to Windows clients, because we know that Windows does not work with this implementation at all. And it's got fixed, but it's not released yet. CyrusSSL says, developers says that they will release it, well, like any day soon for years now. Pretty much like Heimdall. But I guess we will get at some point this released. We have this in Fedora 26 backported. The fix is relatively small. If you go by this link, then you will see it. Okay. Then the second part is that is something we knew well in Samba, that occasional Windows issues TGS requests with three component principles, which is a bit weird thing, and I'd like to see any clarification on this in the documentation. What is the reason for that? Probably something to get the intra-domain trust working or something, but effectively, you only have in MIT Kerberos or in Heimdall, you would only have this as a principle. You don't need to have this. And if you kind of use it as it is, obviously this principle does not match this principle. Principle is not found, so ticket is not issued. In IPA 4.4, we added Kerberos principle aliases to help users that have real life happening, like marriages and so on. They change legal name and they need to change their UID and change their Kerberos principle. So we added aliases, and adding alias like this to LDAP actually works. So you get the ticket that Windows TGS rec requests. Then the other part is LDAP server does not really know anything about SSL. To LDAP bind operation, if it succeeds, there should be a DN in the LDAP store that represents this authenticated identity. How an identity was authenticated is a different story, right? We authenticate with SSL, JSS as Panigo, or JSS API, but in the end, in internal LDAP server operations, it should be some DN pointed to. Luckily, we don't have any users or machine accounts from Trusted Active Directory in FreeIPA LDAP store, because that would defeat the purpose. We don't need to replicate or copy over all those users from Active Directory. We want to delegate to Active Directory domain controller the job of authenticating and verifying that user credentials. But global catalog access, if it's for the users from a different domain, is always read-only. You cannot modify data over global catalog if you're not part of the domain that owns this global catalog. So for example, in a real forest where you have root domain or multiple other domains, only users from a root domain can modify data in the global catalog. I guess there are not so many applications that actually modify data over a global catalog. They all treat it as read-only. So, but in our case, we are different forest. So we are by default treated as read-only. You cannot really get to that. So that's a nice thing. We can find single DN, assign read-only rights internally in LDAP for that DN, and coerce everything to that DN, regardless who is this authenticated identity, even for our own users, because we do not allow to modify this view of a database for Linux clients. Linux clients have their own kind of access over the primary tree. And I said this view of a database, which means there is a primary database as well. And the reason for that is that the LDAP schema for Active Directory and for IPA, they are not compatible. They're not compatible in the sense that same kind of identities have different object classes and different attributes to represent similar concepts. So even on the level of, like, if you get access to, you're authenticated, you're bound to a certain DN, you still cannot really find something because you're asking wrong questions over LDAP query. You're asking something like SAM account name, which is UID in IPA. So it makes no sense to give direct access to the actual LDAP store. And this means the global catalog becomes a view, a transformed, remapped attributes and objects. But direct access is, yeah, useless for that. So another limitation is on the LDAP server itself. So 389DS only allows to listen on a single port per protocol. So if you have LDAP and LDAP-S, you only have 389 and 636 TCP ports. It's kind of a known limitation planned to remove this restriction. We had to deal with this for CLDAP because CLDAP runs over UDP and UDP 389, which is not listened by. So we have a plugin that actually listens separately, but then it have to parse all LDAP details itself, not the LDAP server. And global catalog is always a different port. You have to use that one, and you cannot really have the whole machinery running on two ports. That's sort of a limitation. Yes, it will be removed in future, but effectively we have this limitation of the schema incompatibility, which also means we better move to a separate instance. So the FreeIPA global catalog service is actually running as a separate instance, serves a separate port. It transforms users and groups data from the primary LDAP instance to AD schema, caches it, and accesses read-only with SSL JSS SPNU. Well, actually, all like JSS API will work as well, but the point is that Windows clients never use JSS API, they use JSS SPNU in their requests. And it actually documented in the spec. Then the data transformation. So we have a plugin now that picks up the changes from the primary LDAP instance running on the same IPA master over the Unix socket. And then we have a plugin which we use for different purposes already, schema compatibility plugin, that basically has this mechanism to take an LDAP entry, reformat it into what you want, another LDAP entry, and store it. It's called Slappy NIS because it also implements the NIS protocol, and it's in production in IPA for like 10 years, well, not the 10 years, but 9 years at least, yes. So current state is that we have most of design figured out, and there's a bunch of wiki pages on IPA website. The SyncREPL plugin almost ready. It kind of handles all the stuff. There are a couple of problems that we tried to solve with cold restart, like if something killed the primary instance, let's say for upgrade, it was shut down and this one is not, then any changes that happened offline needs to be picked up and so on. And the schema compatibility plugin refactoring has started so that we would extract this formatting engine, which is general. It can be used for other purposes, LDAP related, but it uses the 389DS LDAP server-side LDAP library because it operates on LDAP objects in the internal representation. Fairly flexible, but probably not for something to use in LDB. But we plan to have this working prototype for Redmond in June. I hope to come and subject Windows machines to accessing this stuff. My goal is to have users from IPA being able to log in into Windows machines and Windows administrators being able to assign rights for file system access. This all comes from a typical customer use case where they have, in fact, majority of Linux machines in the office and maybe like 5 or 10 machines with Windows, which are legacy at this point for them. And the rest is actual Linux stuff. So our idea is that we don't want to implement all this infrastructure to join Windows machines into IPA because we are not really truly Active Directory. For that purpose, there's Samba AD, or if people want, there's Windows that you can do the Active Directory deployment, join those machines to Active Directory and or Samba AD, and then keep the actual user database in IPA and use IPA rules and so on to define access control on the IPA client machines, which might be servers or something else. And that's the primary use case. We don't intend to kind of really go full-blown implement an Active Directory. Yeah. For that, that's the Samba ID for us. And that's all I have. If I would have any questions, then Laura has the mic.
Given you already have to synchronize in a separate LDAP server to implement the bloody padlock, did you consider just synchronizing into a same Active Directory instance to handle the 389 the bug padlock port rather than trying to make 389DS stand platform?
No, we haven't considered that. And I'm not sure that would help, because we do not synchronize credentials. So any key material is not there, would not be in this global catalog instance at all. Yes, but the point is that Samba AD would expect key material.
You could run it with just, because it would just accept those Kerberos tickets, or just GenSec will go, oh yes, there's a Kerberos ticket.
Can we run only 3.268 TCP? Yeah, it probably will be worth running an experiment like that. But so far we were. I mean, remember, this all started well before we got MIT patches in master.
Yeah, even then, probably could have done it in the KDC side. You just need the acceptor, which that stuff's been in for a while.
Yeah. But the point is, we run SMBD already on the same machine, so there would be probably a clash on.
Yeah, we would just have to arrange like certain services stuff, things like that.
Yeah.
The reason I was asking that is that one of the things I found is that Windows LDAP is not like LDAP.
Yeah.
and there are there start to be some very
interesting controls and extra search operators and things that get thrown at you that you don't tend to expect once
yeah,
you start.
Yeah, we know that. We implemented some of them already.
Yeah, so I'm thinking recursive search, for example. Well, yes, that was a special one to do. And there's a few other things that make... It's a can of worms, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. But we already have some of these implemented. Remember that 389DS is general purpose LDAP server, and it's deployed way beyond IPAUs. And it started way earlier than that. So it already has experience working with Windows clients in many customer deployments. Any more? Andrew again.
Have you come across ambiguous name resolution yet?
On this is the global catalog for IPA users. We don't have ambiguity inside.
Yeah, but it's hit by some of the clients trying to do that searching for a user, and it doesn't know whether it's you do a search for ANR equals, and it explodes out into searching for their full name, their surname, their username, their SAM account name.
And I thought it was being used in the security a query that Windows UI issues.
Yeah, that's why I was asking.
There's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So you've got a handler for ANR?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah. We in general, we have this, not related to the global catalog, but on the Linux side, on the client, with SSSD, one of the bigger issues is that customers are asking is that they want to have unqualified usernames to work. Even if users are from multiple domains, they want to take responsibility on not having overlaps, but having a single user's name space, so to say. And with, I think, SSSD 115.2, there's now support for this in when it's running with trust inside IPA, then it's able to actually enumerate internally all those domains and discover the fully qualified domain name on its own. It was quite of work to refactor SSSD to allow kind of passing all this information through, but you can now have a sizable replacement to WinBind default domain saga with this. So effectively, if you don't know which domain user belongs to, then it's administrator who defines the ordering. And for many customers, it looks like they are okay with this kind of limitation, let's say. Other than that, you have to use fully qualified names, right? But this is better than... I'm kind of responsible for the default WinBind default domain story that caused a lot of trouble to everyone. Like 15 years ago, but lessons learned. Yeah, and I guess we could try and look how we can get this in Samba as well to improve this situation, because people still want to have unqualified names. They really do. Thank you.